Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, it has been one wild ride as we have all been expecting. But we need to know, are we communicating? I mean, who wrote your operating system? Is your head in a vacuum? We're going to find out as we speak with a natural philosopher today. I call him that, because if I ever felt like I was talking to someone from the future, it's while talking with the Greek. And so, after all of the shenanigans that we've been witnessing, I could think of no one better to come and really give us a heads-up view of our world as it is, as it has been, and what it will be. So please welcome to the show, the Greek. It's great to have you here with us.
Oh, thank you, Freeman. It's, I guess, good to be back. Any kind of venue that we could come out and display or do a good public report is always advantageous for the audience. So again, thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah, we are hungry for the knowledge. We are. And we're looking at a world in chaos. We're seeing everybody function on the programming inside of their operating system. They don't even know that it's happening. They don't know where this operating system came from. Now, in February, 9 months ago, we were speaking, and you said your vote is your vow to accept the elector's choice. And I think we should open the show with that, in that, you know, 9 months ago you said this, and now here we are with liberals in the streets and bloody, violent riots trying to flip the vote. And it's blowing my mind, honestly. I didn't think that the Hillary supporters would be out beating up people in the streets. I thought, but what I do know is that what they want is chaos. And So let's look at the operating system that would develop into this idea that you would riot in the streets over this, and the legal and lawful ways that this is all so wrong. Take it from wherever you want.
Sure. Let's look at it real simply. What is possible? Pretty much anything is possible. And who can ponder all the possibilities? So you have to be a good observer to see what's happening. And what is happening is possible because it's happening. So, you know, when you talk about the operating system, you know, let's use the computer as a metaphor. You have an operating system, then you have programs, and then you have files. Most people are actually trying to process files and programs, and they have no operating system. And what I mean about that is your operating system, this might sound dogmatic now, comes from your God, comes from your deity, someone you look up to. Like if you're 3 years old in your formative years, your parents are your God. So what I mean by God is a higher authority, not only in concept, but in actual power, like the unseen world rules the seen world, you know, shadow government, anyone? Anyway, so what we're talking about here is things to come might seem fascinating to people, or how things work, because they really just haven't thought it out, or they don't have the convention to access this way of thinking or seeing things, because the operating system comes from your deity, and they don't acknowledge that. For example, every country has a patron or matron deity. In the Western world, most of the countries have adopted the revived goddess religion. And when I say operating system, it's where you get your law, not traffic law or tax law, but what you eat, what you wear, how you operate in business, how you raise a family, how you keep time. That comes from your God. And they have the Western world has incorporated the revived goddess religion, aka known as Justicia or Justice, statue of a woman holding scales blindfolded and such. Right? You'll see statues. She's also known as Columbia, Britannia, you know. A lot of other aspects of, you know, let's say smaller societies have their different gods, right? They've revived various different gods, and that's where they get their law form from. Now, the interesting thing about that is if you are atheistic in any capacity, you still cannot escape this. Like, for example, discussing, having this discussion with an atheist, they'll say, well, Greek or Freeman, I don't believe in any God. Well, that's really simple. You just ask them, do you then follow or believe in the laws of the state? And they almost always say yes. Well, then there's your God, and April 1st is your holiday. So, you see, this is the operating system, and it's in place, and no one is paying attention to it. But It doesn't mean that they're not subject to it, right? Like, go back to the justice aspect. How many times have you heard in terms of law form, in this case it would be legal form, you have to be brought to justice, you serve justice, there's a miscarriage of justice, right? And all of these things. So they're using this in front of you. They have the iconography and statuary to prove it. Now, their agents and the priesthood and the entitled classes that rule the rest of the people, guess what? They don't even know it in most cases. They are just following along. So tie that into what's going on. I think you mentioned what the month is called, February. We discussed about what voting actually means. It means to vow that you are supporting the system, and whatever electorate body decides to elect, you are all for it. Like, I'm with you guys. And this is what's going on, let's say, regarding the condition of what is possible. You know, I guess there's a protest against the electorate. But so these are the possibilities that cannot be thought of but observed and maybe described. So, you know, that could tie into the rest of the discussion because it's not very narrow and linear. So what do you think? Do you want to maybe perhaps go down the path of the political path, or just the, still maybe the general aspect of what the operating system is?
I'm really happy to hear your general views of things, because I swear that you are from the future, Greek. So I think that you are the master of the obvious that no one ever sees.
And oh, thank you.
I want to share that with my audience, because you point out things that are just right in front of our faces and we never stop to think about them. So I really want to follow your lead.
Okay. Well, you know, I have like a stock way of speaking, and typically it's metaphorically, you know, the last thing for mankind to discover is what's obvious, right? And the obvious is just what's right in front of you. Let's not be hypocritical. I mean, people want to go out into far away places and far away thinking to discover things, but typically their shallow thinking gets them diving off into the deep end. Right. So if you're going to be shallow about things, you know, take care of business and what's just 5 feet around you first, you know. And the stock way of starting off on anything like this is, you know, people don't even know what day it is. Now, what I mean by that, it sounds kind of bizarre whether you care or not. It's the concept of time. You know, you've heard in the New Age movement, and a lot of loosely thinking people say, well, there's no such thing as time. Well, that's correct in a sense, because time is nothing other than the recordation or memorialization of events. So when you hear about time travel, you're not really traveling in time. You're either going to past or future events, and time is the recordation of such. So currently, if you ask anyone what day it is, they're actually not giving you the day, they're giving you the date. They're giving you something off of what I loosely call the Pope's work schedule, which is anything between January through December, Monday through Friday. And they usually have this thing called hours and minutes, which is what I call the wind-up toy known as the clock. So typically, you know, just to refresh people, if you don't even know what day it is, how are you going to navigate? Because time is important for navigation. You know, if you're moving 20 miles per hour for 1 hour, that you've covered 20 miles, right? Anyone that navigates or plots things understands time is important. How are you going to navigate the waters of the universe, social aspects, and even any cosmological aspect if you don't know how to reckon time? For example, if you observe what's called a birthday or anniversary, any year, you'll notice that it's a different day of the year every year, right? If you look at what day it is today, folks, you look last year and look at next year, it's a few days off. So what day is it? It's none of it. It's the Pope's work schedule, meaning it is nothing more than as if you worked at a corporate headquarters and they gave you a chart with different color days and this is when you work. So no one really knows what day it is. And that day aspect is not about being usurped by a schedule, but actually accessing information that anyone can access without buying anything or having an allegiance or subscribing. So this convention of what's called the Gregorian calendar that's been accepted by all society is very much considered, you know, the state of society on the planet as being pretty piss poor if you can't navigate using any good timekeeping. And let me just throw in a quick thing. This is kind of long-winded. See, years ago, people settled their debts with the full moon, which is really the new moon, rises in the east. That's why today you still get a monthly bill, don't you? Don't they give you a monthly bill? It's called monthly. But you see, the moon rules the month. And the day starts at high noon, right? Not at midnight. If you remember banking before the electronic convention, if you'd made a deposit afternoon, it was considered the next day. In the Wild West type of society in the U.S., they had court in the morning and they executed sentence the next day. They hung you when? High noon. So we're having the day beginning at noon. And actually, the timekeeping conventions of the world, which would be Greenwich and the other one, I believe, is in Colorado Springs, a naval observatory. If you look up, this was, I'm not sure if it's still there, but on their website, Julian calendar date, they clearly tell you that the day starts at solar noon, but for scientific purposes, it starts at high noon for scientific and astronomical purposes, but for the people, it's civil midnight. That's like how it's kind of a put down, sort of how like the dictionaries were assembled 200 years ago. They weren't sure how to define words. When you looked up the word oats, it said what they feed horses in England, but the staple of people in Scotland. So this is being put in front of you, and no one is really noticing that there's a shifting of time, meaning the way you record time. Time doesn't shift because the events are the events. It's just that you cannot record it. So now if you don't have a way of memorializing time, how are you going to memorialize or record events? Very loosely. So that's why you have a lot of this false hope in things. So let's go, you know, keeping it back to the conversation, tying it back to the recent election in the U.S., you have a character. Now, under the covenant that I live by the way, I don't speak poorly of the leader of any people because they're put there by divine right, believe it or not. This is where the Asians are correct. But you have a character here who is, let's say, allegedly the leader of the American society, now North American, known as the United States of America. What made him so popular is a very, very loose statement. Let's make America great again. And that's all that it took. There's no understanding of that. What do you mean by that? Just getting people riled up about it, you see. And if you want to understand that concept a little more, even though this is perhaps a 1 hour and a 1 hour or 2 hour recording, anyone is interested a little bit more on what's called this crowd mentality, I recommend them to consider Gustav Le Bon's The Crowd. It's on book form, ebook form, audiobook form, and start delving into how the crowd mentality works. And you will see from a social perspective how this man really compiled something really well in the 1895, I believe. And that will give you an understanding on that. But again, just to go back to maybe leading this conversation, people still have not realized that they're not able to memorialize timekeeping and lawful timekeeping. Other things are within their physical reality. You know, you ever notice how heat rises and cold descends, but in all biological systems, the cold rises and the heat descends, like a cool feet and cool head and warm feet? Or when you go up into the sky, it's cold, and down in the valley, it's hot. All biological systems have opposite movement. Why aren't people demanding from their technicians and engineers to design artificial heating equipment to do that? So right now they're just passively ignorant of this fact, and they have air conditioning and heating in their cars, homes, and boats and places that give them a hot head and cold feet, and no one is paying any attention. You see, you know, the other stock thing is going back to their deity. Now, most people, when you bring that up, you know, their God, they think of religion, and you have the major religions, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and such, and all the spin-offs. Do you know that none of those religions know or do anything that's in the text that they allege to subscribe to?
Yes.
At all. And I'm not talking about taking it out of context. And it's really easy to start a religion. Like, for example, if you look at a lot of the Catholic Christian memes, you know, if you want to start a subgroup in there, it's very simple. Get a chocolate chip recipe, bake a cookie, bake a set of cookies, and if one of them looks like what's called the Queen of Heaven, you tell everyone, and in about a month, you'll have 1,000 people following you, asking you about how that cookie crumbled, right? So This is very, very simple. I mean, people, again, the crowd mentality. But going back to no one knows or does anything that's in the text that they allege to subscribe to, meaning in context. And here's the thing. If these texts are divinely inspired and you are told that no one can understand them or that's your interpretation, indirectly what people are saying is the gods are acting in futility. And I'll tell you for sure, the gods do not act in futility. They might have an IQ of 2 million and they're giving you baby talk and you still can't understand it. But that message is not futile. Now here, just to lay something out. A lot of times I refer to what's called the biblical text, and that's very difficult to discuss because guess what? All of the versions that you have in all the languages it's been translated in based on King James or other things is not a translation. It is a version. There's over 27,000 critical mistakes in that document. It's irrelevant in terms of getting the proper message. Now, what you're getting is a general outline of the story, but it is wrought with error. So you're going to have to go back to the languages of preservation. Sorry. But from that point of view, the same goes with any of the texts in any other language. These texts are preserved in their original languages, and it's not going to be given to you on a silver platter. You're going to have to do the work. Now, when you look at these religions as being the, let's say, or as I stated earlier, your God is your law form and such, and you have now debased it and are going by tradition, right? For example, Christmas and Easter Bunny and all these other things are not in the biblical text, but the majority, that is how Christianity is defined. Public prayer in Islam, mosques and other things about women covering their bodies and all that is not in the Quran, right? But they still do it. So these traditions, or let's go back to Buddhism, they have a little statue, or Hinduism, you have certain practices. You will not find that in the Rig Vedas or any of the writings either. So these cultural traditions, behaviors that the people engage in also have a deity or an entity behind them, right? But it is not the one that they think. So they've been kind of hoodwinked, right? So again, we have many, many layers. Let's go back to the political aspect with this election. How many times have you heard of what's called the shadow government? I believe there was even a public speech warning by Kennedy regarding that, right?
And
the WikiLeaks. And actually, Woodrow Wilson had alluded to that, about there's a conspiracy so great no man can go against it or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, right? There is another entity behind that. So we're talking about a world of the unseen. Now, what I mean by that, it just hasn't been properly identified. Just like years ago, if people used hot coal to heat their house and they closed the doors and windows, they woke up dead and they didn't know what killed them. It was the ether, they called it. But later on, they discovered there's something called carbon monoxide and they had a carbon monoxide detector. And now you know not to do that, because you can specifically identify the agent that brought that situation on. Currently, humanity is in a state where they cannot specifically identify the agents that bring about their condition, aka known as the gods or unseen beings. Yes, and I'm not really crazy thinking that I have friends that you can't see. This is just based on what has been memorialized. Now, if you memorialized in texts and information we can access, meaning, if you think, like most people, that everything came into creation less than 100 years ago, and everyone that wrote anything prior to you regarding the gods is an idiot, or you don't have to believe in it, you are not examining information that is available to you to explain many of the things that are going on.
Without a doubt. Exactly what you're saying. It's all social norms, and none of it is the documented evidence, which, again, they're only allowed versions. And then with this traditional standpoint and the versions that they're dealing with, and I've seen, Christians that disagree with interpretations and get thrown out of their church or whatever, back and forth because of interpretation. And we're looking at a situation where they want to rile up the mob, and all the fanatics are out there screaming kill all the fanatics. So,
right. Well, here's the thing. You brought up church and all of these institutions, these temples. They're just revived post-flood, let's say, paganism. Like the word church comes from circe. It's actually the Latin word for circus, the three-ring circus, or what's called the Trinity. You won't find that in the text, but they've memorialized that. Now, let's just get down and dirty about it, which is actually true and clean, is that Christianity was started pretty much very much how 9/11 conspiracy movement was started. No one really knew how those buildings came down in public in mass groups. So they have all of these people saying, oh, it was thermite. Oh, it was some space weapon or whatever. But actually what brought them down is a quite simple device, and it's not what people think because they don't understand the structure of the building. Now, what was going on around the first century, there was a lot of incredible events happening, and there was a rumor mill that was going, and the events were usurped by the typically a fellow named Simon Magus, Simon the Magician, and he was quite popular and quite wealthy, like a Houdini or a David Copperfield with the budget of, let's say, Bill Gates or George Soros, right? And he was at that time period, and he didn't know what was going on either, but he was able to promote for his advantage the frenzy that was going on about the events in the first century, then to focus on what he was saying about it, right? And he was also a Samaritan descent, which the Samaritans are very interesting. If you look them up back in the day, they had their pagan gods, but they also invited, let's say, scriptural law. So they were a good mishmash of everything. And also, when you look at the history of Simon Magus, you have the offshoots of what's called Gnosticism, right? And all these other aspects of Christianity. But if anyone studies the biblical text, you'll see that everything that they're doing, not some of what Christianity is doing, but everything Christianity is doing is either on the abominations list or the don't do list of the biblical text. Now, the problem with discussing this like this and not making this a quote-unquote religious discussion is I want to just make a comment. There's quite a few people unstudied and unfamiliar with the text that come out and say it was a different God of the New Testament than the Old Testament, right? How many times have you heard that? Well, the thing that they miss out on that the so-called God of the New and Old Testament is the same one, and it's not what people think. It is the Christ himself in the text. Now, this has nothing to do with what you believe in, because the Christ was God himself manifest in according to the text. So one of the main things that they bring up is how in the Old Testament, the Israelites were told to go and kill every man, woman, and child in certain cities before they occupied the land. And in the New Testament, it's all about love and peace and all this. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. They have not studied the text. Now, I tell people in passing, and they find it very shocking, but who is the most hateful character in the biblical text? Pause. They can't answer. It's the Christ. How do you know? Well, you just read the text. He'll say things like, think not I brought here to bring peace. I came to divide with the sword. I will bring terror amongst you. Oh, another thing that's stated in the what's called the New Testament is that you've been better off being at Sodom and Gomorrah than what's going to come upon your village or city. Or how about this one? Why do you speak to the people in parable and riddle? It says the truth is not given to them. It's given to you, right? So you have many of these aspects. Now, what I mean by hateful, meaning the hateful of the way that man operates at this point, right? And even at that point. Now, let's just jump back to the Old Testament. Remember, I just mentioned that they were told to go kill every man, woman, and child and animals as well. So it can't be the same God, right? Because they have this concept, and I just showed that he's not about love and peace. Well, why did they tell the Israelites to go in and kill everything and everyone that moved? You ever wonder why? Well, it's very clear in the text that they were engaged in pretty abominable acts that are actually represented in parody today. Hey, Freeman, let's go back in time. We're going to walk down an ancient Canaanite village. You ready? Let's hold hands and go on a windy walk through, let's say, ancient Canaan, right? We're talking about the time that the Israelites were told in and go ahead and slaughter everything and everyone. So we're walking down a public square right now, and we're looking in one shop, and what do we see? Well, we see a whole bunch of animals tied down, donkeys, horses, sheep, chickens. And you're like, well, what's that for? I said, well, this is a sex shop. You know, people like to get off before they go to, you know, to the marketplace down the road. This is what they do, right? So you get all these animals possibly knocked up with human sperm. Oh, let's go to the next shop. What do you see there? Oh, I see all these little children in cages. What's that for? Oh, well, you'll see down at the end of the square there, you'll see a seated statue. It's made of bronze, and it's glowing red hot. And people are told to make a wish of prosperity by placing a child in its lap and searing it alive. But it's kind of hard to do business when you hear children being burned alive, so they ring bells. You know, have you ever heard of a fat red character where a child is placed on his lap and you have bells involved, like jingle bells? Right? That's Moloch, a revived Moloch. Now, this is the type of society that was operating out and open, out in public back then. So these people were unrehabilitatable. It was so incorporated into their society that they would rather die than let it go. And they were accommodated by that. Now, what you have in this modern society, how many times have you said, have you heard, let's say, people saying, oh, we have to preserve Christmas, you know, the actual thing, right? You see? You see what's going on? It is exactly the same society, but it's in parody. Another thing I bring up is, what do cannibals, birthdays, and dolls have in common, right? I think, I don't know if we brought this up previously. But you see, these things all tie in together. And we can go into what cannibals, birthdays, and dolls maybe have in common in the second hour, perhaps, because that's a little bit of a litany on its own. So perhaps all of these things and these misunderstandings, something as minor of what religion is, and discounting the facts behind it, and then having pseudo-academics or academics promoting a dichotomy that doesn't exist. For example, the Old Testament God is different than the New Testament God is foolishness, right? And by the way, at this point, and I'll say this publicly, I am embarrassed to be in a room with anyone who has more than an eighth grade conventional education. You know, for example, have you ever seen people drive around in the cars of a bumper sticker? My child is an honor student at this school, or my child goes to that school, and they're so proud of it.
Sure.
Well, I want to make a bumper sticker that says that the only reason I'd send my child to a public school or university is if I knew they were a complete moron. So anyway, that is a personal comment on the current system.
And that's just the idea that everything is propaganda, that this is just a tool of indoctrination. And is that what you mean by this?
Well, yeah, it's indoctrination, but they're accommodating the people. Like, for example, there's a reason why fast food is so crappy, because people want to be accommodated by fast food, and they don't really care about what the ingredients are. So how are you going to make a profit if you use higher quality ingredients? So you keep it at a minimal high profit because the people don't care. It's what you get away with. It's what the market will bear. You know, here, right. There's something that I've always discussed in the past. It's called pranking. Humankind right now is subject to a cosmic prank. And in other words, all of your entitled classes, your doctors, your attorneys, your professors, your scientists are pranking you. Now, what's a prank? Look it up. It means ludicrous trick. But the primary prankers are your parents in most cases, meaning like when you're a child, you're told about Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, or you're told about this or that. And one of them is like, you can't see ghosts either, right? There's a boogeyman in the closet. No, you didn't see anything. Yes, you did. Okay, so you're being pranked by your own parents, who take the seat of God at that time because you're not aware of any higher authority, even the state, as a child. And at some point, the parents tell you, oh, you're too old for that right now. You can't talk about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. What's wrong with you? Right? They never apologize. See, that's why you have a lot of psychological problems with teenagers in the Western world, is because the parents never apologized for all the pranking they did. Here's another form of pranking that parents... Yeah, they have this deep psychological embedded thing that all you have to do is apologize for lying to the child. Now, here's the other – yeah.
I was just going to say, that's how Catholics become Satanists.
Well, yeah. Now, we can get into that.
No, but yeah, you can't be a Satanist without being a Christian. And I see so often that what happens is that disillusionment when the prank is revealed, and they're like – they become the complete opposite – of what they were you know, their operating system.
But again, it's not. Let's hold the pranking thought for a moment. Satan is a character that anyone can research. He is only dealing with major institutions. He doesn't deal with each individual at a time. He will in the future with one individual, a.k.a. known as the Antichrist. He's the only man in history that Satan will actually possess. All of the other ones are demonic possessions. There are trillions of demons. You can even have 5,000 demons in one person, in one man or woman, right? So they're, forget about the 7 billion people. There's trillions upon trillions of these entities in the spiritual realm.
So you absolutely believe in deities and demons.
Well, it's not a matter of believing in them. As I looked at what's been memorialized about them, and I found it to be validatable and sound information. And if you want to go, that's what belief should be based on. If I write you a check for 50 grand and you call the bank and there's 50 grand in the account to be transferred to you, for example, you can go around telling people you just got 50 grand even though you haven't yet because everything's in place for it to happen. Belief should be based on things that are in place that will happen, not some obscure, abstract insanity that most people are operating on. But let's go back to the Satanism. You hear a lot of people in these small occulted movements known as Satanists. They're really not. And they will tell you when they set up like a satanic temple that who their entity is. Like, for example, the temple of Set. That is not Satan. That is an ancient god revived from Egypt, for example. And there are others, various Baals or Baals or lords. Satan is in control. This whole entire social construct is his, meaning Satan doesn't deal with a little satanic temple. That is a revived demon, a minor, very, very minor imp or demon. Satan is in control of all the governments of the world, all the religions of the world, all of your sciences, all of your entertainment, very, very subtly, you see. So to say that Catholics leave that to become satanic, well, is Catholicism one of the major religions of the world? Yes. Right, so it is also under the control of that, right? And it's very easy. Now, Satan just means adversary. Now, I want to just – we're going to go back to the pranking, hopefully, because that's very important, I believe, in with some of the disclosure that I like to give.
Yeah, I didn't mean to derail you because we did cover Satan pretty good last time.
Yeah, but actually, let's cover one more thing in there. When you read in the book of Genesis what they give you regarding Satan and all that, he's known as a serpent, right? And people, he's been in iconography, statuary, and in legend, even in film, shown as an actual animal, a snake, right? Now, if you actually go read the text in context, you will see that is the name of an individual that is very very anthropomorphic. Have you ever heard of a man or a woman's name called Robin or someone called Hawk? Does that mean that they're a bird? No. It just happens to be their name. So when you go and look at what's in the original language of preservation, what is being translated as the serpent is actually someone's name. And this is someone that has taken the form anthropomorphically, a spirit being that is engaging primary man and primary woman, let's say, right? You know, so there's an aspect to that that needs to be looked at. And, I mean, we can do 500 hours and not repeat one thing and give an encyclopedia on this that anyone can access. The problem is people just don't care at this point.
Right.
But we're going to say it anyway. Now, I want to go back to the pranking. And you are all subject to a prank, which is a ludicrous trick. And what I mean by that is that if you try to rationalize a prank – you cannot. It's purely emotional. And if you ask the prankster, why are you pranking me? They never give a rational answer. But the ultimate answer is because I can and I feel like it. That's why I tell people, do not have a false sense of optimism on this planet. If you woke up this morning alive, be thankful that you are, because the reality of the violence, level of violence, spiritual and physical, on this earth is not really comprehended by most people. I tell people basically, be thankful that while you were sleeping last night, wherever you were, that no one came through the door of where you were sleeping and ripped the liver out of your body. Be thankful that didn't happen. This is the potential level of violence that everyone is living under right now. And if you, by the way, someone did do that, or attempted to do that to you while they were ripping the liver out of your body, if you ask them, why are you doing that? They say, because I feel like it. And that is good enough. And that's what I mean about the level of pranking on this planet. If you talk to any of the entitled classes, the doctors, the attorneys, the leaders of the people, the academics and all that, they're all working on working in a particular field of their specialty, but none of them know anything about what's been memorialized about that field. In other words, there are set, memorialized, documented rules on how they are to operate, and none of them know any of these rules, or very few of them, or operate along them at all. I'll give you an example, like what's called law enforcement. You know, there is no law enforcement that knows any law. They're being directed by the Attorney General's office to do things, right? For example, if you get pulled over, what's called pulled over with the flashing lights, and they issue you a ticket or whatever, it doesn't matter if they're a sheriff, a local police, or highway patrol or whatever. Do you know that in order for them to properly be able to do that, they have to have what's called DOT certification, and the actual ticket itself has to be signed by the director of the Department of Transportation in federal office? And how many of them do you think have Department of Transportation certification? Not one. And it doesn't matter, because the rest of society will say, if you tell an acquaintance, a friend, a family member, what happens? Well, you shouldn't have been speeding. Well, you shouldn't have done that. That's what happens here. I'm like, but it's not according to the rules. But it doesn't. Well, that's the society we live in. This is how people react.
Right.
So they're subject to the prank. And also there's a sense of voluntary, ism in it. It has to be voluntary, but most people don't know what they're volunteering in. Like a prankster will say, here, would you like to sit? And you say yes. And now he's placed a thumbtack on the seat. You sit on it and get, you know, damaged or injured from it. And you jump up and you say, why did you do that? He says, well, you know, you're the one who said yes, you wanted to sit. You know, the pranking part, well, that was, you know, that's how I have fun. You see?
That's just how I roll.
That's how I roll. And this is how your professors are. This is how your law enforcement is. This is how your legal – this is how your religious people are. Confront any imam, priest, bishop, guru regarding what they're doing, and they're saying, it doesn't matter. I just need to believe, or leave me alone. Right? They don't want to know anything. So – we're not saying this because anything is going to change, but we're saying it because this is the rationale behind the irrationale that's going on this planet right now. And what is going on this planet, ultimately, in a big sense, is that, folks, time ended almost 18 years ago, and you're in the credits part of the movie right now. What I mean by that is, if you're going to shoot a two-hour movie, do you get just exactly 2 hours of film, or do you have to get 2 hours and 10 minutes because you have to roll the credits? The credits started rolling around the fall of 1998. And the reason I use that metaphor is simply this. The purpose of the credits is to give credit to the efforts and the people behind it, and also it's to show what you didn't see in the main feature. And also the order of importance sometimes has changed, but you get to see all the things behind the scenes. And the other interesting thing about using this as a metaphor is, you ever notice while the film is running, if someone speaks or stands up, you're promptly told to be quiet or sit down. But when the credits are rolling, the film is still technically rolling, but people are talking, people are moving around, and there's disturbance in the theater, but it doesn't matter because it's the credits. That's why since 1998, when you see all these things happening, it just doesn't matter. People don't see it. You see?
So we're talking about all the corruption, the child trafficking, even spirit cooking, all coming to the surface, coming to the light, and who cares?
Right. The movie is over. You know, they're not going to tell you shut up and sit down. And this is how it's just pretty much, you know, metaphors are simple. And this is not an oversimplified metaphor. It's just another perspective on what is going on. Here's another perspective on what's going on. I like to use architecture as a metaphor, meaning 1,000 years ago, structures, especially public structures, were built to last 1,000 years. I remember growing up at the bicentennial in the U.S. around 1976, speaking to some people in Europe and saying, 200-year bicentennial, are you kidding? I'm living in a house that's 1,000 years old, right? So 1,000 years ago, public structures were built to last 1,000 years. 100 years ago, public structures, or most structures, were built to last 100 years. Look at the skyscrapers in New York that were built around the turn of the century or a little after. They're still very robust and structurally sound. Now, structures, since 1998, structures are being built to last only 20 years. Go look at those big towers that are built in Asia or in Dubai. Actually, go research it a little bit. What is the life expectancy of these large towers? 20 years. And to put it a little more perspective on the subject, I was conveying down what's called a road one day, and I saw what's called a housing subdivision going up, and I took a glance at it, and I pointed to someone, look, The people are so far gone, they're building their houses out of compressed sawdust. Think about that for a moment. You know what I mean by compressed sawdust? You ever see that?
Particle board.
Yeah.
It's all a facade, folks. That's what
it he's doesn't
saying.
Matter. The reason why is why should it be made? It doesn't need to be robust because this information is ingrained in everyone. Just like a plant knows when to come to seed, society is now coming to its point. Now, it doesn't mean doom and gloom, because anytime you preach doom and gloom in human history, you will always sound correct. But the problem is, whenever doom and gloom is preached, they cannot give you specifics. What we're trying to do eventually, well, at least we, meaning what the Greek is saying, is give specifics. And one of the specifics here is that what everyone is experiencing right now is the precursor to the precursor of a Middle East union that is going to be forming. It's a group of 10 nations, which only 9 exist right now, in what's called the Middle East area. And when this union comes together, it's going to be a very loose union, not like the European Union. All of your government, economics, judicial, recreational, entertainment, education, religion is going to be based out of there and then coming out of there. You see, it's going to be the hub, and it's going to be projected from there through the entire world. And if you want to keep it really simple before getting into more specifics, or maybe not, you ever hear grandma say what goes around comes around? You ever look at a racetrack? Where's the starting line? Okay, look at the starting line. Now, where's the finishing line? It's the same thing. Even in the rubbish secular education system in academia, they tell you that man's society started where? Mesopotamian region. Well, guess where man's society is going to end? Based out of there as well. So it's very, 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 very simple. And by the way, this has also been prophesied in many of your ancient texts. But who wants to read the ancient texts? Because those people are just ignorant. You know, it doesn't matter. Oh, I don't believe in that. You see? So, you know, we're modern now. And by the way, if you study any of the ancient writings, you know, like ancient Babylon or ancient Greece or even parts of Rome, before they fell from their prominence in their writings, they described themselves as being modern.
Yes.
So, you know, let's tie this back. We kind of like got more of a narrow aspect here. I believe in going deep in certain aspects, but just covering broad things, because, you know, shallow thinking usually gets people diving off something deep. So you've got to pin yourself down into a thought. That's what meditation is, by the way. Meditation is like chewing the cud. You have a thought and you you keep processing it. Just like, you ever have a diamond inspected? Do they just glance at it and put it back in the sack, or do they keep turning it and look at every facet, right? And it's how the light goes through it from every direction. And when you hear about meditation, by the way, they really screwed up the Western world on that, because when the body is active, the mind is quiet. And when the body is quiet, the mind is active. So back, I think many people that consider themselves contemplative or meditational are trying to keep their body still and make their mind still. That's how you go insane, folks. Meditation happens when the body is still, the mind is fast. You know, if someone is running a marathon and you want to ask them technical questions, they'll shoo you to the side. They'll say, listen, let me finish this run and then we'll talk, right? Because when the body is active, the mind is quiet, and when the body is quiet, the mind is active. So if you're laying down in bed and you find your mind racing, that's good. You're probably not used to it and you don't know how to take control of it. But once you understand the simple premise that I just shared with you folks, you know, you'll have fortune in understanding what meditation is. So
that does help, because, yeah, who can stop that? You know, you're supposed to stop all the thinking, or, you know, again, that is a tradition instead of an actual practice, the way that we see things and the way that this is all going. What crazy times. Okay, so we're looking at, we're in the end credits. We've been revealing everything going on behind the surface. We find that our elite are all bloodline tracking back to ancient lines. We find that they are all trafficking in children. Every single person that has come up in this last election has been accused of rape. And then we get a Middle East union, where the laws and the, you know, the traditions are quite different. America has been set up as this role of Satan, as the evil overlords of the planet, thanks to things like the use of 9/11 truth, and all this revelation of how, you know, try pizza parties and hot dogs and things of that nature that are coming to the surface. Mm-hmm. What happens when, as we start to boil into the second hour here, we're going to lead into the process of enacting these stoning laws in the West, and how this Middle East union will affect us.
Sure, sure. Now, when we say stoning laws, and you brought up 9/11, you know, I've got to say this, and many aspects, perhaps people have no comprehension or don't want to have comprehension about the one of the major traditions that goes on is from the secular point of view is the preeminence or predominance of the Christian era. All right, if from a secular point of view. This is known as the Christian era, right? That's why your years are numbered as such, right? And it's all erroneous. The figure of the Christ, for example, and all that, you will not – what's shown by Christianity, the crucifix and all that, and the countenance of the man with long hair wearing a loincloth and such, is not in the biblical text at all. And when you say 9/11, that is also a loose reference to when, let's say, the birth of this biblical character took place. So, in essence, just to tie it back to what sparked this me to say this, is when you said 9/11, two things that are very important, folks, to consider about 9/11. One is all of the discussion that is out there regarding it, no one goes back and discusses the type of construction that was used for those buildings. And people don't know that that type of construction was around for decades before, or a decade before it was actually implemented. And the reason these buildings were not implemented, because no one knew how to take them down. And until the method was developed or procured, then they were built. And it wasn't just the World Trade Center. It's the UN building, Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza, the Sears Tower. This is a specific type of construction. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is no one is speaking about it. The other thing that almost no one is speaking about is in the Christian era, you have something called Christmas, the birth of what's called the Christ, and no one discusses the accuracy of the information that is available for that. They all take for granted, we don't know when it was, this is what how we celebrate it. But what's interesting, in the biblical text, it gives you an astronomical alignment when that happened, very specifically. And if you're going to do a cross-cultural, cross-era communication of time, you have to use astronomical alignments. You can't use ridiculous calendars, right? Because they change. You know, so in the biblical text, it's very clear a virgin was giving birth with 12 stars at her head, cloaked with the sun and the moon at her feet. That is a very specific alignment. And we know from secular records that during the time of, let's say, the biblical record when the Christ was born, there was a census or head counting of the empire by Augustus. And also we know that Herod had died about 2.5 years after that time, according to secular records, that puts you between 2 AD or 8 BC. So if you go look for this alignment that I just mentioned, the constellation Virgo with the tail of Draco at her head, with the sun in the middle and the moon at her feet, that is in the late afternoon. And if you go to an astronomical observatory or computer, that will show you that happened between 2 and 8 BC. And that happened on 3 BC on the day of 11 on the month of September around 6:40 p.m. So what, when you say 9/11, that was what's called a birthday party, right? If you get the meaning of that. And we'll talk about what cannibals, birthdays, and dolls have in common as a metaphor to understand this society. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well to give a little more comprehension on what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We are seeing the birth of a new world. And folks, it is the year 5777 in the Hebrew calendar, or
yes,
the year 6016 Anno Lucius calendar. Or, you know, the year 2016.
For memorialization, it seems to be there's this new kid on the block known as Adam, and that was around 6,018 years ago. So when you're referencing the biblical text, you would probably be around there. Now, what's interesting about the Hebrew calendar, by the way, the reason it's losing out a few hundred years is because they decided to eliminate the years when they didn't have an unrighteous king. So, for example, if you didn't like George Bush Jr., you reset 8 years like never happened, right? It never happened. And that's what the, and I don't know, is that lawful to do that, you see? The answer would be no, it's not lawful. It's not a lawful timekeeping.
Well, for the pranksters in the historical system, it absolutely has. They've kept us veiled this whole time, hoodwinked, as you had said, and now they've got us running in the streets screaming, kill all the fanatics.
Yeah, and the fanaticism is what you are being shown. Like, for example, back to 9/11 for a moment. When 9/11 happened, and within 30 seconds they said it was Muslim terrorists, it was loosely accepted because since the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Hollywood had done a very good job in procuring Muslim terrorists in film, right? And also news, and also the xenophobia of how look how different they are kind of thing. It's always, you know, just like with Asia in World War II, it's very easy to pin out an adversary because they look very different, because you have the sports mentality. You know, people are into sports. You know, it's a bunch of people in uniform chasing a ball. And the reason why it's so easy to follow sports is because the teams look very different. You don't need to be a genius to figure out what's going on, right? So.
Without a doubt. And we saw that whole sports mentality come out. That's exactly what runs these politics. And everybody's like, my team has to win. And now we see the results of what happens with poor losers. And in this very thought that you're having here, it made me consider this idea of how many bloody murders would you personally witness without television or Hollywood?
Sure. Very few. But it's kind of difficult to say, because without television or Hollywood, there might be fewer distractions and people might be out actually committing more of them. Right?
All right. Touche. But so, we can see how this has been melded into the system just slowly and subtly, that this has been going on forever and ever. And
yes.
And that's the thing, is that They've spawned these reactions. When Kathy O'Brien, who we will be having on the show, folks, very soon, has been talking about this for 25 years, and it's only now, because it's a mob rule situation, that they're going to react to this knowledge. And what we hope, the Greek and I, folks, is that we give you data so that the reactions will. You know, be tempered by understanding and knowledge that this is not new. It's not time to react. They're forcing you to react at this moment.
Sure. And, you know, the reactionariness of everything, you know, if you were growing up, let's say in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or even 80s, when world leaders or captains of industry were speaking, you notice how they spoke about multi-generational terms. They wanted to do these big public works projects and social changes. You ever notice now how captains of industry and leaders of people only speak from a reactionary point of view? When an event happens, they're taken out of wherever just to make a comment. There is no more discussion about multi-generational or long-term thinking at all. And that is another clue you need to look at, folks, to see how things are falling in place. But you have to remember, if anyone is familiar with homeopathy, right, which is how little of a substance you can give, or the subtle energies, it's the subtle energies that actually dictate the things that come later. It's the shape of the river, not the water, that dictates the flow. You see, so what's happening now, and it's been happening for a while, is a lot of subtleties are being put in place that are allowing people to accept what's happening. And we'll probably get into a little bit more on the current situation, like you brought up, you know, the pedophilia, the human sacrifice, let's say, you brought up the murders and the stoning and all this, how that people are being, let's say, indoctrinated, or they're being warmed up to these concepts, because these things are going to be very significant in the near future, actually in the next decade, let's say, the secular decade.
Don't be pranked by the systems, folks. Mob does not rule. The subtleties of your very character will make all the difference necessary. Don't run around screaming, kill all the fanatics, because, well, that makes you a fanatic. So what a wonderful understanding to start to bring about the knowledge necessary to stand on a firm plane as the world just erupts into chaos around you, and know that you're not being pranked by this very same system.
Mm-hmm. If you guys prank. Yeah, I'm gonna, a ludicrous trick. Yes.
Yeah, it is ludicrous. It is all ludicrous. This whole thing that I'm watching right now is ludicrous, folks. It's insane. I mean, I wouldn't pick either one of these people to you know, take care of my dog, much less be the ruler of my nation. The things that have come out that people just don't care is blowing my mind, but I don't want them to really get it all in one punch like they are, this idea of child trafficking and MK Ultra and all the true things that are going on behind the scenes in the dark, dark, occulted world of politics and global governance. So I don't want you to be reacting to that. I want you to be knowing that this information has been here. It's we've been talking about it, and we can change things, but homeopathically, with subtlety, as we interact with one another. I want to conclude this by saying you can find The Greek very soon at uncommonradio.com. That is uncommonradio.com. And he gives you his work in bits and bytes and lets you take that in. And I want to announce that next week we will be talking with Fritz Springmeier on the Beast System, because we got such a rave review from last week's show. We have to get deeper into this. So Fritz Springmeier next week on the Beast System. And tonight I will be live 8 p.m. Pacific. That's 11 p.m. Eastern, I hope, on KABC in Los Angeles. So if you're in the L.A. area, 8 p.m., I will be live on the radio, and that should be an amazing show. I certainly hope so. I'll do my best. I promise you that. So we're going to take The Greek over into the members section. We're going to look at birthday cards, cannibals, and dolls. We're going to bring up a little bit more doom and gloom, and then we're going to discover something special about people's tattoos. As a matter of fact, have you seen this latest one? I'll put it in the artwork for you, folks. This one blew my mind. It's going to be right there on freemantv.com for you. It is a woman who had "Donald Trump is not my effing president" down her entire back in a tattoo. This is blowing my mind because, hell, Hillary might still be president in the not-too-distant future, and she'll be stuck with this for the rest of her life. We're going to talk to The Greek about tattoos, the Middle East Union, doom and gloom, and really look more into our homeopathic stasis, these deities and demons that we're dealing with. So I hope you all will subscribe. Get over to freemantv.com and click subscribe. There are numerous ways to do it, and it all helps in getting this media out to a bigger and bigger audience so that we can really start to affect change in ourselves, and then watch that radiate as it comes up through the plant life around us, those around us. All you can do, folks, is plant a seed and watch it grow. You're never going to beat this stuff into anybody's head. And the more you listen to The Greek, the more you realize that they don't care. They really don't. You can bring out their own books. You can bring out their own data and say, here, you are completely wrong. And they'll say, well, that's not my book. Any final thoughts on that, Greek?
Oh, well, you know, I think we're going to really finalize it in the next hour, so I encourage anyone to just come on over to the membership area.
It's a fantastic time, folks. It's really been going great, and thank you all so much. There's been such a great rave review recently and over the last few months, and you know, all of this last year, honestly, has been just epic. So get tuned in, and we're all here for you, I promise, and there's going to come a time where that river is going to guide us all together, so I really look forward to seeing you all out there. Until next week, we will see you later.